First off, Kitty Hawk, I wanted to mention, did you, let's see here, you did make a post about, on your site about the whole Tumblr thing?
Yes, I did.
Have you seen the staff response to it?
Yes, and they are a bunch of lying sacks of shit.
Really?
Okay, so here's the deal. See, what they're trying to do is they're trying to confuse you by saying, oh, well, we just blocked only the adult blogs, which is, okay, what they're doing is they're slowly erasing blogs from the internet by, if you have an adult Tumblr, it will get flagged and get removed, get put on robots.txt as a do not index, which basically means that your Tumblr is now unsearchable, like on Google or any search engine.
Even DuckDuckGo.
Even DuckDuckGo, because if you don't, you have to respect robots.txt. So they're erasing adult blogs from the internet. Like, and people say, oh, well, I can still search for it in Tumblr if I have search safe mode turned off. Well, yes, for now, because what they're doing is they're doing what everyone does, which is the incremental erasing. And this is also hilarious because Marissa said, I won't touch anything. I won't do anything. Tumblr is going to be the same Tumblr it always has been. And, well, she's a lying bitch like every CEO. So this is basically the beginning of the end. There actually are deleting blogs. There have been some Tumblrs already taken down. They are blocking certain searches. They claim it's Apple. They keep saying, oh, well, it's Apple's the reason that you can't search for depression or you can't search for gay and lesbian issues. And that's actually untrue. And Trevor and I were laughing our asses off about it because this is just classic, because we'll launch the app on the same day that we do this and then we'll blame Apple for this. When actually what we're trying to do is we're trying to clean this up. And the you might say, well, for what reason? And the answer really always is, in these cases, is they don't even know themselves. They just think this, like, if we clean it up, maybe we can monetize it. Because they've already taken away the ability to, like, monetize the adult blogs. So it's, I don't know what they're planning. I think it's just one of those typical corporation has gone completely bonkers, bought something it didn't want, and now is trying to fit it in its image. So I expect to see even more griping as, like, they start to actually crack down more. And then, like, the line between not safe for work and adult starts to get kind of muddy. So, yeah, so it looks bad. And I'm really glad I didn't get in that, because if you have multiple Tumblrs and just one of your Tumblrs gets marked as adult, then all your Tumblrs do not get indexed. So now they might have fixed this, and as they were saying that this was a bug, but this was something they did. So, and it was not a bug. This was clearly done on purpose. Oh, well, you know, corporation's going to do what corporation's going to do. So, yeah.
Well, you know, where are they going to whine about it on the internet? I guess they're going to have to go back to their live journals.
Oh, yeah, live journals. Which actually did start for a while deleting blogs that they just didn't like, which is what Blogger also did too. And this is why I've always been like, you shouldn't rely too much on services. You should use, like, okay, so, like, what you should do if you really care about your content is you should host it yourself. And then use things like Twitter or Facebook to reach people and bring them to the site, rather than, say, try to, like, put everything on Tumblr. And then when Tumblr decides that they don't like your content anymore, well, now I hope you have that all backed up. And I hope that hope you're able to put together a site, because, yeah, there you go. You're off. And that's why I say, like, there are a lot of, like, blog software and stuff like that. I know it's hard, but you know what?
It's hard.
Everything is hard. Everything requires effort.
I can't do it. Even I had somebody help me with the website for webcast speaking.
So. I do too. But you know, but what I'm saying is that it may involve having to talk with someone, maybe. I know. Or maybe learning it yourself. Oh my God. I mean.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Tumblr gonna continue to suck, and Marissa's a lying bitch. So.
All right. Well, now that that's squared away, let's get the show started.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com, covering and promoting the creativity and creative process since 2007. I'm Fess, and with us we have Ben Carver from Animation Aficionados.
Good to be back.
Kitty Hawk from...
Sparkling Generation, Valkyrie Yuki, SGVY.com, sexy fun, you'll love it.
And returning from, I don't remember how long ago, but Gordon from, Gordon McAlpin, is that correct?
McAlpin.
McAlpin from Multiplex. Welcome back.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Now, this episode, we're going to take a look at viewing and reading comics on a handheld mobile device. Because if I just said mobile device, you might also add a laptop into that because that is technically mobile.
Okay.
Sure.
That's a little that's a bit of a stretch, but okay, we'll go with yeah. it.
It is mobile.
Mobile has a meaning. I'm sorry.
It's luggable. It's called a luggable, yeah. Portable.
As in what they called the first laptops, they called them portable computers.
Well, technically, a car is also mobile.
Yes, but we're talking about we're talking about semantics, and then we'll be crying as we're like talking about, but that's an adjective. let's not go down that road.
Oh, it's too late. We already did. And now we're going to come back from it. Anyway, webcomics. So a while ago, we did actually talk about Comic Chameleon, which was an app that actually went around and got people's permissions to actually put their comics onto a mobile app instead of just doing it without asking. It is a free app. It's only on the iPhone right now, and I believe it's ad supported. And all the creators that are signed up on here will get a portion of that ad, whatever amount that may or may not be. Now we actually, some of us don't have iPhones, and one of us does have an iPhone at the time, and Gordon also has an iPhone too. We'll get to that, but I think both you, Kitty Hawk and Gordon, have actually taken a look at it. So let's take a look back at Comic Chameleon, and let's see, which one of you would like to actually describe how it works?
Okay, I can describe how it works, because what it really honestly is it's an RSS reader. What it's doing is it's taking the RSS feeds from these various webcomics and placing it all in one place. So that's basically what it is. It's not cached. It's just whatever the latest is. You can go back in time a bit because it is just basically you're just basically going through the RSS feed. So
coming from the RSS feeds.
Yes, it's coming through the RSS feeds. Yes, yes. I'm sure we've all seen that by now. But yeah, so it's coming through the RSS feeds. So it's kind of interesting because this is a way for like what's been popping up a lot lately, these webcomic rings where people get together. The new way of doing it is like you get a whole bunch of people and then you get an ad, you basically use this as leverage for an ad, for like one ad sharing company. Basically you say, so we have all 20 creators and they have a readership of this that mm-hmm. qualifies us as a large server of ads. so we can negotiate a better price. So this is really good in that, like, now, because like AdSense has been kicking a lot of people off lately, including myself. I got kicked off. And they don't give you a reason for why they kick you off. They just kick you off and then tell you, you have to defend yourself against the reason that we kicked you off. And then you're like, but you don't tell me the reason. So anyway, so this is a really good way for like webcomic creators to be able to get these like more high tier ads. And so this is basically what this is. This is basically, we want to do high tier ads. We want to make some money off that. And so we're going to create an app that has these feeds, and also we can make some ad revenue off of it.
Well, let's be a little bit fair here. You know, people are looking to completely monetize, and you know, there's no way this can ever, there's no way to that this will replace your day job. Let's just get it out there.
Ad revenue will never
Okay. To be fair, this is my day job. Now, granted, the comic doesn't actually make me like money itself, like the pages actually don't make me money.
Yeah, they don't go
along. Everything around it makes me money.
Right. Well, I mean this specifically, the ad revenue itself isn't.
Well, ads are actually
Gordon, go ahead.
Mobile ad revenue is notoriously less lucrative, and I mean lucrative in a very relative sense, because you know, ad revenue for any mid-level website is, you know, kind of garbage. Well,
It'll pay for your, like, okay, my ad revenue pays for the server, and it definitely pays for like the domains, which I'm paying a little more for my domains and my server, but that's because they're in Iceland, and also we do other things. So the fact that it's paying for this server, I'm like, woohoo! So, right. Ads are a good thing in that they do pay for, you know, some of the costs. But the other thing is that you have to be really understand that ads are kind of like mobile ad. I would say web ads are more truthful than say print or ads on TV, because they kind of always lie about how many people they're actually reaching. Whereas with like web ads, you can actually kind of see how many people have actually seen it or clicked it and all that. But yeah, at the end of the day, even when you look at the numbers of like, this is how many ads we served, and then here's how many people actually clicked. Yeah, the reach is really, really low. Yeah.
Well, you know,
how
many people click on a billboard, like an actual billboard on the side of the highway?
But what I'm pointing out is that clicks are kind of like, I'm interested in this.
Sure.
Whereas we really can't measure, you really honestly cannot measure that with print or even TV, because you can say, well, this many people read the magazine or this many people watch the show, but you can't actually say like this many people actually were affected by the ad. Now they do sometimes put websites that have like, you know, additional numbers or things like that to give an identifier.
Tracking so, and all that.
For tracking.
Some radio ads will also say, just mention this ad and receive a discount, which is really good for the company that's actually spending money to have that ad play where it is. And if you come and they'll do that like with multiple places. So we saw this ad in the Daily Bits, or we saw this ad on TV, you know, so it's, you know, something like that is really good for businesses like that. But
there's feedback, but at the end of the day, usually when they say we serve to this many people, they're usually fudging their numbers a bit. But then again, everyone fudges them.
Advertising is always about fudging numbers.
It definitely is. But getting back to the app, my problem with this app is that it is a completely online app. It's not something I can like download the latest comics, and then when I go on a plane or I'm somewhere with bad Wi-Fi, like let's say deep down in the bowels of a university or something like that, I really can't read them. Like I don't understand this. Like I could just be going on the mobile site,
right? Or not even a mobile site.
Or here's the other thing. If they're all RSS feeds, if all of these these comics are just RSS feed. The other thing is that you can embed ads into RSS feeds. So what you could do is just embed these ads into your RSS feed, and then people can put those RSS feeds into like something like Feedly or something. So that's my thing about it.
And I have my own feelings too. Mostly I mirror what Kitty Hawk says in that, okay, it lets you read the comic. I can do that already with my phone or with my tablet or with anything.
I will say one thing. Mobile site, like, I can understand if, like, maybe you're not willing to put the effort into a mobile site. But there's a lot of software out there that you can do that with.
I mean,
and, like,
especially
we're honestly talking about RSS feeds. So, yeah, there's no site to worry about here. You just have an RSS feed.
Especially if you have a WordPress site. There's plugins to turn it into a...
Those plugins are terrible.
They are terrible, but they're at least technically there. I mean, but they're for like a comic site, they are actually pretty terrible. Unless you get one that actually will display your image.
The thing is, and this is something that Kitty Hawk's done really well with her sites, is...
Well, Ben will actually get to that. Before we get to actually, we're talking about Comic Chameleon right now. Gordon, I wanted to get your opinions on how Comic Chameleon works, as far as if it does work for you or not.
I think it's an enjoyable app. The interface is a little hit and miss with me. It's nice that you can, you know, zoom in on the strip images, but then if you try to scroll across from it, it's really jerky. It doesn't have any of the inertial scrolling that should be built into any iOS app. I don't like the fact that it apparently completely loses any blog posts that are associated with the comic. Not being able to cache the strips offline for reading, it's a pretty tall order, honestly. It's one of those things that sounds a lot easier than it is to implement in an app like this, because you need to have some kind of interface to be able to, you know, say like what to download and how to get rid of things, because you don't want to just have, well, just clear everything. You know, the clear everything button isn't going to be a very good solution for that. So,
but you have a clear everything button on your app.
Yeah. Let's talk about Gordon's app. Now, Gordon, first off, I want to know why you made this app, and then go ahead and tell us what you were thinking when you were putting it together.
Well, the Multiplex app, mostly the reason I wanted it is because I don't actually yet have a fully mobile website. But you can still read it on an iPhone or an Android device. You know, you just have to zoom in on the strip. It works all right. I'd like to be able to like change the layout a little bit to optimize it for a mobile device, so that, you know, the width of the screen actually, you know, the strip is actually taking up the width of the screen, so that I could, you know, move the sidebar or lose the sidebar completely, that kind of thing. It's sort of an alternate layout. But what I would want to do is, rather than having a separate mobile site, is to have either an adaptive or responsive layout, so that if whether you're on a mobile site or a mobile device rather, or Retina, you know, iMac or whatever, it's all hitting the same website. And
we'll talk more about that later though.
Sure.
So because that's actually part of my site.
And like, that's part of what my argument is as well.
Right. But let's tear apart Gordon's app first. Kitty Hawk, okay. Now you actually had a chance to take a look at it. Is that true?
Yeah, I actually did check out the Multiplex app, and it is a really nice app. There's some, you know, my biggest issue with the app, and I'm just going to get into this just because it's a big thing about, okay. You have to understand my background, which is that I've actually done a web app game for iOS, and then I had considered doing an app on iOS and eventually Android, even though Android is a fucking compatibility nightmare that I really do not want to get into. But, you know, we were thinking about doing it. And so I understand, like, you know, now listening to you about, like, that this is basically a stopgap measure for not having a mobile site.
It's not just a stopgap measure. The fact is that for the foreseeable future, any native app is going to run much faster and have a much better user interface than any web app. I mean, you can add touch support with jQuery or whatever, and you add those scripts in, and all of a sudden your supposedly slim mobile website is bloated as all hell.
Okay,
and
you need to check out my website then. It's stvy.com, and like it is mobile, like that is mobile and desktop. Like I don't use the m dot whatever because like that's just crap.
That's 5 years ago thinking.
Yeah, well, and the thing is like this is a responsive website in that it detects how big your screen is and then it resizes appropriately. Mm-hmm. It knows that a mobile is going to be a certain size. It knows that a tablet's going to be a certain size. So getting back to your app, the thing is I like it. The scrolling through is really nice, like being able to swipe through, and it is pretty snappy. But there's some problems which are to get a cache, I have to go through all the comics. And my thing is that if I'm downloading a comic app, I really want all the comic to already be there, or I can download in packs. If you go to App Store and you go to the section of books, the top apps are PDF, EPUB, CBR readers, because most people just download the CBR or whatever and then read it. And like the thing is that because they want this offline viewing experience because if you're on the train.
And that's a feature that we have planned for an upcoming version.
Awesome.
We had an existing 1.0 app that my brother designed several years ago. It was built in Monotouch. I can't remember what the Xamarin iOS. Yeah, exactly. It was a nice way for my brother to not have to learn Objective-C in order to build it. Every time iOS or Apple updated iOS, it would break compatibility. We didn't know that was going in. So the current version of the app, we got it out so that it had everything that the current app or the previous app, the 1.0 version, had, and a few extra bells and whistles, mostly the redefined user interface. Right. So we wanted that in people's hands as quickly as we could get it. So that meant we pushed offline caching, in purchasing and reading of the chapter ebooks that I sell. All of that is getting pushed towards a later version. Hopefully, you know, later this summer. But because iOS 7 is out, we have to put some things on hold to make sure that even though I'm running the iOS 7 beta on I love it. I mean, it's definitely unstable, and there are some. It's a beta, you know. But I love the interface. Every once in a while, there's a few things where I'm like, I don't really know what's happening right now, and I feel like they'll figure that out and add in some sort of notification, that kind of thing. It's a beta, like I said.
Yeah. But, so you're holding off on doing this just because like you don't know what happen and. Are you going to add like tilt support too?
Landscape support is a little tricky. It'll be easy to do when we do an iPad version, but for the iPhone version, it's something I'd really like to add because it's nicer to be able to, you know, turn the screen sideways, especially if you have like a 5 or a 5S, because they just have those really wide screens.
Yeah, that's so nice.
Yeah, I typically read the internet on my phone in landscape. I really hate when I have a program that forces portrait.
Well, it's to me, I'm looking at just the screenshots of your app, and I have some feelings here. It's a so it looks like it's mainly just to like read the archive and look at several pages of the information. It's you know, I could see the arguability of a webcomic having an app if it did something that a site could not do. Like,
what it can do is load a page in less than half a second. if you try to go back through the most recent chapter of the Multiplex website, for instance, if you clicked like three times on the website, that would take you 4.5 seconds, and that's not even reading it. You know, you can scroll through the website or the app very smoothly. It caches the strips as you're going. The user interface counts for a lot, I think. That in and of itself is something that a website can't do. It kind of can.
I'm going to jump in here real quick. Okay. Of course, a website isn't going to, your browser isn't going to just immediately cache your images if you're, I can see this app being good for like the Uber fan of Multiplex. It's like, you know what? I'm like on a train or whatever, and I want to reread this chapter or go back to the beginning, and you're just kind of sitting there and thumbing through. Yeah, granted, you could also just load up the website, and in the existing website, it would just take you a whole lot longer, especially if you're just going through and wanting to see the pictures. So I can see this more as like an Uber user would definitely get more out of this.
Well, when he adds the offline stuff is really what I think is the killer part of the app.
Because right now you're duplicating functionality of the website, and you say it loads faster, but you're adding
friction is what it's called. It's like because the person has to go and download the app basically to have a nice mobile version. You're adding this layer that just basically. They may just say, fuck that shit. I'm not going to go do that because I have to get out of the mobile browser, go over to the app store. And I've done this. I admit that I am sometimes lazy and like, I have to go and go to the app store and download this. Now, I mean, and the thing is that I'm sure once you have the offline viewing, you can have like these big ass fucking ads that say anywhere on a plane, on an island, in space, you know. And like that's what I did when I did the USB drives. I had these USB drives that had the entire comic, and it had an update feature so that when you had internet, you could get the latest comics on it. And it was perfect because I'd be at conventions and I'd say, "Oh, you got a plane trip back, right? Well, this has a whole comic on it. You can just watch it on the plane." And they're like, "Oh my God, that's the smartest thing ever!" And that's what the big killer feature, because I knew that, because I'm never going to do print because fuck print. It's just expensive and stupid.
If you want to do print, that's perfectly fine. That's a different argument and show altogether.
Yeah, that's a whole nother show. And the thing is I made my decision a long time ago. But that's my thing is that I knew that if I was compiling this somehow, and this was way before iOS or Android or anything like that. And I knew that I had to have like the killer feature, which was it's offline and it has a nice interface. And that I think right there is enough to do an app. But if you have to have connectivity, like internet connectivity in order to use the app, it just sort of like becomes, so why am I using this? It's cool that you're putting the offline stuff on there.
Yeah, you know, obviously offline reading is a big thing. It's important. I don't know that it's necessarily a deal breaker because, you know, just the fact that I could sit in my bed on an iPad and read, you know, 100+ pages, it was a much more immersive and more enjoyable experience than trying to do that with a hot laptop on my lap, you know? And it's certainly more enjoyable than, I mean, my website runs pretty fast. I try to
keep it snappy. Yeah.
Yeah. I have every once in a while get into a little OCD website optimization thing, and I'm using inline SVGs as much as possible. You know, I don't use offsite scripts when I can avoid it. Obviously, ads are sort of that necessary evil. I don't know about necessary really, but they're evil. Anyway, I need the ads in order to pay for the hosting and all of that. So I could definitely make the website a little more mobile friendly, but there's still the advantages, I think, of the speed and getting rid of a lot of the extra clutter around it, that desktop users, they like to be able to have everything at their hands. Mobile users, there are some things, I wouldn't say that you want to get rid of them, but they're not as necessary. I've been trying to figure out how I would do a responsive layout, you know, what I would move around, what I would kind of, get rid of.
It's not that difficult, honestly.
It's
a question of having the time to do it.
Yeah.
The thing is that I actually have something that can do it. So
yeah,
let's go ahead and take our break first, and then when we come back, let's dig into the responsive website design.
All right.
This program is part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. You can find and follow us on Tumblr, Facebook, Google+, and Twitter. Just search for Webcast Beacon. Have thoughts or questions on an episode? You can leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922 or email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Comics, art, and writing discussions, interviews, news, and reviews at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
All right.
I mean, I'm even doing responsive email design right now at my job. It's really kind of fun, and it's something I enjoy doing all the time.
I'm in
grad school for interactive design, and I have a print background, one of the reasons why I love books, but I am kind of more teaching myself a lot of the web stuff, and so rather than making a whole bunch of different websites, I just remake my own website over and over and over.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I'd like to get my website to be a little more responsive, so actually I probably will ask you a couple of questions about how you do some things.
Okay.
Before we get into that,
my husband is the person to talk to definitely because he's definitely like a whiz when it comes to this shit. So.
Well, before we get into asking specific questions, Ben, would you like to go ahead and quite basically describe the functionality of a responsive website?
Certainly. It is. It's all about a little bit of magic called a media query. What a media query is a piece of code that's in CSS that basically says, look at the window I'm in. Is it X wide? Is it a screen? Is it a handheld? What's the pixel ratio? You can tell it to do any of those things. Width, height, device width, device height. I like to use width versus device width personally. And you can tell it to, when it's in that certain condition, run this CSS code instead. And you can make a page look completely. You can make a page look completely different, depending on what its view is, what size screen it's in, and it really is as simple as that sounds. It just requires a little bit of mastery of deciding what it will be. It requires a lot of forethought. I'm starting with this design. what's it going to look like when I mobilize it? What do I want to take away? What do I want to reformat? What do I want to shrink? What do I want to expand? It's a lot of forethought. It's a lot of planning, but it's really not that difficult.
Well, or you can do what I did, which is, okay, so my website, which is at sgvy.com.
Oh, really?
sgvy.com or montrose.is/sgvy. Montrose is SGVY. I actually been wanting to do a redesign of the site for a long time because I was thinking about mobile. And like I said, we had considered doing an app for a while, but the hell of getting it approved and then like having to keep the code updated with each update of iOS, we just decided in the end that we just didn't have enough time for that. So we decided to just make a mobile site. So the new SGVY.com, I thought about the mobile site first before I designed the rest of the site, okay, because I thought it's going to be more and more important that mobile is needs to be more the more important thing because more and more people are using their mobile devices and things like that. So what we did is we made a site that basically puts the comic in as much of a full screen mode as we can when you view it on iOS. And it works on Android as well. It works on iPad. It nicely frames it and stuff.
It's platform agnostic. Yeah. That's the best part about responsive. It's platform agnostic. Yeah. Doesn't matter if you even have one of those old Sibians, you can still view it.
Yeah, and that's the advantage of doing this is that now you're backwards compatible, and now you don't have to worry about like with each update of each OS, how is this going to really look? Because the thing is that I don't really have the time to do that. And also the thing is that like we can easily put out an iOS app. Like we could do that. And Android would just be a little bit more difficult because we'd have to decide like which do we want to be compatible with and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is that we could then say, fuck an Android app. Like we're not going to do that. But then that's the thing. Like the thing is that while 70% of people using the web on mobile devices are iOS users, you're now just cutting out 30% of your users. And why do that? Like when you could just do a mobile app and now you get everybody. And I guess that's why I say like, if you're going to just be presenting the comic and you're not going to have like an archive feature where I can view it offline,
Or another feature that might be like maybe a mini game or something.
Even like the mini game, I'm still like, I thought about doing that. Like we thought about putting a mini game in there. And then I kept thinking, why don't we just make the mini game an app then? Like there's no point in like shoving these two things together. Like if I do an app, it will be mostly because I want to do an archiving. But I've decided I'm not doing that because what I'm actually doing is that we're ending the USB service because it's obvious that like people are just not as into USB drives as much as they used to be. There's a lot more mobile users. So we're setting up a CBR service where we're just basically going to compile the comics into CBRs and then the people can download those and they can download those directly into their apps that view those. Like we'll have PDF and CBR so that people can just download those and now they have them on their phone. And I think that that's the best way to do it. Now, I'm not saying that you can't do an app. Oh my God. I'm just saying that for me, I feel this is better just because our site is very snappy because it loads up. And then really honestly, what it's doing after that is just hosting images to you. And the other really cool thing about our site is we have also implemented a censorship feature. If you ever see an eye in the corner of a comic, if you click that and put in, if you are of age and you follow the instructions, I'm not going to give any more than that, then you can see the nudity. And that's something we did on mobile. Like that's just a mobile thing. Like we didn't need to have an app for that. And you can just click that on the main page too. Roll through. What?
It's like that on the website as well too.
Yeah, yeah. The website also has this too, because basically the website is the same for like mobile and desktop. It's just which skin did you get for like the front page? Really, basically, the comic viewer on the website is basically the same on the mobile, because I designed it to basically be mobile centric, and the desktop is just basically like, ooh, now you get this beautiful star field. Look at that. Ooh. So, you know, that's my thinking. My thinking is that I like being discoverable. So that's why I focused on a mobile app rather than just do an app. Because like, it's very hard to search through app stores for new things. Usually how you learn about it is on the web. It's like someone tells you about the app and then you go download that app. Whereas like, if I'm looking for new comics, generally I'll like either be searching for like a specific kind of comic, or maybe I'll like find it on the web and then I'll be able to go there directly. If you have to download an app, you're basically adding this new layer of new layer to get to the comic. Whereas like, if it has a mobile site, you're there.
Right. If you have a smart app banner set up, if you go to my website on any iOS device, it's one click away from the app store.
Well, but I still have to put in my password. Dude, I still have to go to the app store. I still have to put in my password.
Why do you have to put in your password?
So hard.
You lose people when you have more steps in engagement. Yeah, that's the thing. It's something like, that's been true with marketing and advertisement for years. Everyone knew that.
Like, I don't care if I lose those people from getting the app, because they're still on the website already.
But the website's like, not optimized either. They will go, oh, I'm not going to read it right now. I'll just wait until I can get home.
Yeah. Well, I actually looked at your website on the mobile version this morning, because I was like, oh, I should check out his website. And then I was like, well, this is all tiny. I'll check this out later.
Yeah,
one of those fucking annoying iOS banner things that's telling me to go to the app store. I'm going to push the app. I didn't even know it was your app at first. I'm so sorry, but it was just, I saw that and I was like, they're trying to sell me something. Click that thing away.
Exactly. Like, people have been trained, just like people have been trained to not look outside whenever they hear a car alarm. People have been trained to dismiss banner ads, even if it's your own banner ad.
Okay, one thing is, you don't actually have on your website, I don't really see any information about your app, except down at the bottom with like a text link, and then
it's next to the feeds at the top.
You have an Apple, but that doesn't tell me that's an app. That just, I just look at that and I say, why is there an Apple symbol? What you need to do is instead of using that Apple ad thing, is you need to have a big ass banner that says iOS ad.
There's the smart banner. If you didn't dismiss us earlier, there's already that.
I use AdBlock and I don't see any ads on your site, so you just lost.
Are you on an iOS device right now?
I don't have any iOS devices right now.
You would not see it because it's only served to iOS devices. Because what are you going to do? Download an iOS device an iOS app on your non-iOS device?
Dude, what I'm trying to point out to you is
I get it. I can add an ad to slow down the website for everybody, including the people that aren't aren't going to be able to do it.
An image?
I honestly, I think that's dumb. Okay. I mean,
I'm just pointing out, like,
let him finish.
Add a little bit extra to promote the app. And I did when it first came out. Right now, I'm just not that worried about it.
Okay, that's fine then.
Yeah. I have priorities, like making the website, making the comic. keeping the comic up to date twice a week. Anyway.
No, I didn't understand. Dude, I'm not trying to attack you.
I get that if you see my website on a mobile device, you have to tap to make the column with the strip that much, slightly bigger. Mm. But it's not that much more strenuous than any other website.
I think I need
to. The thing is that when I go to your app, you talk about, like, I can click on your comic to make it more visible on, like, a mobile device. But here's the thing. Even in your app, I have to zoom in order to read the comic.
Well, like, duh. It's, what are you talking about? Duh.
But the thing is, it's like, okay, you go to my site and you could turn it on its side and now it's a little bigger. And
there, come on, Kitty Hawk. There is no comic
like,
on the web.
You're talking about easeability of reading, but you haven't done things like
you pinch and zoom. That's you just pinch and zoom to zoom in and read the comic. Unless you're
once you do that, hold on one second, guys. The thing is this: if you talk about building this app to make a better reading experience on an iOS device. Mm-hmm. And then you start talking about, you know, tapping the zoom and pinching the zoom and all that. And so pretty much hold on 1 second. I'm not finished.
Let Ben finish. Let Ben finish.
Okay. So you're talking about making an optimized experience separate than the experience you would have on a mobile browser. But then you're telling us to repeat the actions that you would have to on a mobile browser.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
On a screen.
Except on a mobile browser, I can turn it into landscape mode and read it a lot better. The thing is that you didn't put that into your app, and therefore it's not as easy to read. Mobile site, I can do it in landscape mode, and it becomes easier to read than doing it as pinch and zoom. That's my point. My point is that
we've got that part, yeah. Kitty. Go ahead. Gordon, go ahead.
We've already talked about the landscape picture.
Yeah. You're going to add that if you can.
The entire, I would like to. It is not up to me. It's up to the developer.
Who is your developer?
It's a friend of mine, Daniel Farrelly. He's a freelance iOS developer in Australia, and sure,
I'm in Australia.
anyway,
I might be coming down there next month.
All right, go, Gordon, go ahead.
I had nothing further to say about that.
I understand that, like, you have some technical limitations, but I guess, like, my thing is like, It's a really good start. I'm not trying to, like, downplay or anything, but it's a nice start at an app. And I think that you're really cool that you're going to add the offline capability, which is really, I think, the main reason to have the app. I would really look into putting landscape mode in, because that really does.
You've said that like three times.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
Okay,
because
I'm sorry.
It's a big thing.
I thought actually what we were going to be talking about here wasn't my app versus, you know, webcomic.
I'm sorry about that.
The idea of standalone comics apps versus, you know, this this sort of hub type app.
We've been saying, is the best way to make the argument of why there should be an app versus a mobile browser experience is, again, you know, to make it to where the things that you have to do for a mobile browser experience are taken away because the app itself already compensates for that somehow, some way. Maybe a read mode where it, like, zooms in on the panels and goes in and lets you go panel to panel. But basically something to differentiate it from a regular browser experience, because in the end, if you aren't careful, it will feel like, oh, someone just added some UI features around what's basically a Safari wrapper.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I like about what I've heard about Gordon's app and some of the images that I've seen from the examples of what the app would look like. It's, you know, you strip down the website a bit. So when you're just seeing the comic, You're not worrying about the header, the sidebar, footer, and all that sort of stuff. Pinching and zooming, I'm sorry, that's just how it works. I can't expect anything to go. And in fact, I would prefer me to control how I view that. I hate Comixology's guided panel viewing thing. I hate it. Hate it. It is so annoying.
But at the same time, it does differentiate it from like a regular reader.
To make it look worse, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, the panel,
I
the
never
paneling
ever
thing.
Use that feature. I use Comixology yeah. all the time. Well, all yeah. the time. But I'm on an iPad mini. I'll give you that. And so, you know, when I'm looking at Comixology or even my own app, the strips are perfectly readable without having to zoom in. Mm. So that's kind of one advantage for me
having an iPad mini versus
the iPhone. Although, you know, I even know on like an iPhone 5 or an iPhone 5S, because they have the Retina displays,
right.
it's actually legible. It's not exactly the greatest experience, but because it's so small yeah. in terms of physical dimensions, but you know, if you want to zoom in, you can.
Again, you're legit. Working. You have a tablet, so like the tablet experience for your app is probably a lot better experience than say
yeah,
on a phone.
I can imagine.
And on a phone anyway, it's going to be difficult for most comics anyway. You're going to have to pinch and zoom on a phone.
But my point is that like if you add a landscape feature to your app, I think that I'm really going to harp on this because like the thing is that like. I'm sorry, but like most viewers that I have on my phone, I can turn them on to landscape mode.
Yes,
so
Kitty Hawk,
that's,
we know.
That's what I'm just saying.
And I agree, Kitty Hawk. I read yeah. everything in landscape. When I'm browsing on my phone, internet, I'm always in landscape mode. That's just how I yeah. my monitor's landscape. I prefer yeah. to read my phone in landscape. And that's fine. You made that
I read
point.
Most, so I read most comics on my phone in portrait, honestly. But
you're weird. I don't know you. I don't get you, Ben, for most things.
Most comics I read have portrait-style pages anyway. So, But the point remains is that, you know, a responsive website would you know, For people out there that are wanting to do a mobile solution for people to read their comics on the web,
right?
A responsive website would actually be less time, less money. You know, if someone's yes. spending money, less effort. Yeah. You know, more reward. You know, it's accessible to 100% of mobile devices.
Right.
You get 100% capture. You get everything. There's only positives. With only a very few negatives, like Gordon said, maybe the load time will be a little bit slower. But yeah. honestly, websites I built, other than the actual comic images, are less than a meg. And
oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Like my site is extremely small. It's really just the images that are your load time. And if I had an app, it would still basically be the same because
isn't your site only like 250K without the images?
Yes, it is extremely small. And like it's because we set out to just do it mobile, like centric, because that I feel that that's the better way.
And all that is just using modern markup, modern code. It's there's tons of tutorials out there. I'm self-taught. I actually went to design school, but the teacher that taught web design was an idiot and said everything has to be built in 820 by 300 tables, and yeah. there's no scrolling. And I was like, screw you! I know how to write divs.
Yeah, well, and the thing is that our code is really like the thing is that you can have a small website that's unobtrusive, doesn't like yeah.
so it is possible. And it's a lot easier if you're starting, if you're a new person, you know, getting started and making your website. This is something certainly to look into when you already got an established a website. Certainly it's that where do you find the time, or if you have to find somebody that can do it for free or you pay them, because you're also maintaining the web. You know, it's not something that can quick go. Now, if we can find some tutorials for people, I think that'd be great.
That's a different argument. Like the thing is that what we're trying to say is that my argument is for discoverability reasons.
Discoverability.
Really, honestly, having a mobile site, I feel, is much better if you're just going to have the viewability be online only. And I'm saying, and my thing is that if you're going to have it for offline, an app is fine. Now, I personally am not going to do that because I feel that doing it as CBRs or PDFs, because I know people already have readers, that's how I'm going to distribute it. Mm. So it's just, it's, I guess it, we're really, honestly, we've got different philosophies.
Very, very much.
Very, very different philosophies. And like, I'm not saying, oh my God, apps are terrible. I'm just saying that your argument is that it's a better reading experience, then there's like, there's always going to be issues. And I guess I'm just saying that here's my issues. And for the most part, I think it's a really good app. It's very snappy. It's very easy to use.
That you have like cached pages on there.
But like, but the having to cache pages is kind of like, and not having landscape is sort of a,
Yes.
So that's really, other than that, I'm like, I like the swipe, being able to swipe through. That's really nice. Right. And that it caches pages like two pages ahead. Is really nice because then it's really snappy because then I can just sort of flip through the pages just fine. And I like that you've done that because like with our website, we actually cache a page ahead. Now the pages are pretty large because they're full color and
they're,
you know, like 768 by something or other. And so, yeah, but we try to cache ahead. Like you're doing, and that actually is very good web design right there.
Well, here's another thing I wanted to bring up earlier. It's like you know, there's a level of discoverability through the app store itself. I mean, Gordon's app could quite possibly come up when people are searching for comics. It could also possibly come up for people searching for movie stuff.
Actually, it did not. I actually searched for comics on the app store and you'll be amazed. Actually, you know what the top hits were?
What?
They were CBR readers. And PDF readers.
Yeah,
people don't go on to the app store just to discover apps anymore. What happens usually is someone at their job or a friend says, hey, you have to check this out because they themselves heard another friend say it. It's a much more viral thing than I'm going to use the app store as my search engine because I'm bored today. I want to find out what kind of apps there are. A good example of this is Sugar Crush. A coworker of mine said, hey, Ben, you got to try Sugar Crush. And now I'm on level 57.
Gordon,
Kitty Hawk, hang on one second. Gordon, you were about to jump in there.
I was just going to say that discoverability isn't, in the App Store, discoverability isn't that big of a deal. I mean, it's just not something you're going to focus on. I didn't make it because I wanted to find random readers, although I apparently have found two or three. probably the only two or three that actually discovered Multiplex because of it, but that's not why I did it. I did it because it's a better reading experience, because unlike an ebook, it dynamically updates twice a week. And at some point we can update the app. As soon as iOS 7 comes out, it'll automatically update, and so everybody will have it. And we can
You're going to do auto updates and stuff?
With iOS 7, they're automatic.
Okay, so, cool.
And, you know, we'll be able to add retina quality images, but that's something that we need to tackle on the website at the same time, you know, of course, because that's kind of part of building a responsive website is going bigger just as much as it is going smaller. So
to do that too.
there's a lot of synergy that needs to happen between the app and the website, largely because they essentially use the same API. And these are sort of future things.
I recently had to go through all this because we were making the new site and we had to implement a mobile site, and I'm actually having to go back and resize all of the images because to fit properly on an iOS device.
I might have a piece of code that will help you with that.
I got that. It's just a matter of going through the archives because the archives are huge, and also I don't know exactly where they are, and also I'm lazy. But I understand what you're saying, and I put my effort into just doing a mobile site just because like I thought about doing the app, but it was just like In the end, it just seemed more sensible to do a mobile site. And maybe if I want to do a collected, like I said, maybe I'd do an app, but like I said, probably more like, you know, CBRs, and like have a service where you get like an email that has a link to the CBR, which in iOS, it will basically say, would you like to open this up in this app? And it will do it. So that's going to be our service.
Yeah. So,
and I think that'll be the most ideal one to do because there's the offline readability, which is really the killer feature.
Well, yeah, and he's adding that to his app, which is really awesome because that is the real reason that, like when I'm on the train and like I go through that one area that has the bad connection, it's always like, phone don't work. Why phone don't work?
So as I was saying earlier, it's like I'm looking at I'm hearing about the app and I've seen some of the images, and I can totally see this as particularly if you're an iOS user, and you haven't seen, you know, it's more of a power user app or a new user app, where if somebody just came across it, it's really cool, and if they know about the app. And they have an iOS device, they can really just sit comfortably and just archive dive and just go through it. Or a power user that really likes multiplex, it's right there for them.
Don't click the clear cache button. Don't click that button, though.
But, you know, I think it has its uses, as in what Gordon was saying. It's something that he's really wanted to have as an option for people to read as well. Yeah. So it's not like... It's clearly not a scheme he has.
No, it's not a scheme.
You know, just as an interface, well, as a grad student in interactive design, designing an iOS app for multiplex is just something I wanted to do.
Oh, husband was,
because it was
actually
fun.
And my husband was in grad school when he designed the game at sgby.com/iXmas. We just did that as a lark. Like, it was just like web apps were new, and we were just like, fuck, we can make a game and we can do it in a week. Yeah. And we did it. And it's actually, you know, you can still play it on iOS. It's still downloadable, sgby.com/iXmas.
Does it work in landscape mode, Kitty Hawk?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your URL. Could you say
sgby.com/iXmas. But it was a stupid little thing we did in 2009. He was in grad school, and it was like we had a week before Christmas, and we were like, yeah, we could do a game. We could do that.
Yeah,
I
also know you could go to multiplexcomic.com/app and get the Multiplex Comic app for your iOS device. Now, one thing you can do is, like, if you want to see what we're talking about, if you can weigh in, agree or disagree, go and go to multiplexcomic.com/app, download the Multiplex app, and then check it and compare it to your mobile experience between your web browser experience. Not because he needs to get all these hits or anything, but you should probably go to multiplexcomic.com/app and check it out.
And you should go to sdby.com on any device. It works. It works on iOS, Android, iPad, iPhone, and your computer. It might
Windows
even
Phone,
on your
Symbian.
Yes.
wait. I did you miss an M in there?
M.
Symbian, right?
I don't know. I don't ever own one. I always thought it was Symbian.
Symbian.
I think that's an entirely different device.
Symbian.
Mine.
No, I didn't say it like that.
But anyway, check out multiplexcomic.com and sgby.com, and, you know, just read comics in general. There we go.
Yes, read comics in general. Anyway, web comics. So some of the other things we mentioned today was comicchameleon.com. I heard that inkoutbreak.com, which is sort of like a webcomic list site, which also, you know, people have varying opinions on that site as well. I'd say it's one of the better list sites than the old school list sites. But I heard that they were also going to be working on a comics reading app using their site and discoverability and things like that. I'm not sure if Comic Rocket, comic-rocket.com, was going to be developing an app as well. Because I know when we had brought this up, the whole concept before, we were talking about discoverability of other comics versus like Comic Chameleon is specifically these comics, and that's it. So, you know, there's plenty of ways to read and discover comics out there. If any more apps pop up, we might take a look at them another time and judge them on their merits, whether or not they go in landscape mode. But I think this is a pretty fun discussion, and I would like to, if we could find some tutorials about is particularly making a WordPress, converting a WordPress site into a responsive site, because a lot of people already have that, it's easier to convert.
What would be easier would be to actually buy a responsive theme for $15
or open source one.
Well, right. there are plenty of responsive WordPress themes for $15.
Yeah, so there's that's already solved. It's just you're dealing with WordPress. Anyway, let's not talk about WordPress.
Oh, come on. Lots of people have WordPress. AIDS. I have WordPress.
AIDS.
WordPress is a bad solution.
Whatever.
Let's move on.
I don't have the time to rebuild the whole site once again.
No.
I don't have the money to pay for it.
I have
$15
a website.
Fest. Just don't buy your morning coffee for 2 days.
I don't want to buy... I don't want to redesign the... Did you say a plugin or a theme?
Theme.
No, I'd want a tutorial to edit the theme to do that anyway.
Oh, that's called learn some CSS.
Media queries.
Whatever.
No, buy the theme.
Whatever. No, so I'm going to be stuck like that. If you want to see the Webcast Beacon Network site, go to webcastbeacon.com. It is not mobile, but you know what? You can pinch and zoom your little fingers, and there you go. Or you can just catch, you know, if you're on a phone, you can just catch the feeds and check it out that way.
Yay! It's coming through the RSS feeds.
Okay, that is it. That is all I got for this episode. I do want to thank Gordon McAlpin. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I got corrected.
I have a second.
From multiplexcomic.com, and go to multiplexcomic.com/app to check out and download your iOS multiplex app today. Thank you for being on the show, and I know you gotta get up early to move tomorrow, so good luck with that.
Oh man, good luck, man.
Thank you.
Ben Carver from animationaficionados.com.
Thank you.
And Kitty Hawk
of Sparkling Generation Valkyrie Yugi, sgvy.com, mobile friendly since forever. Signing off.
And this has been Fez from the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Yay!
got a little bit of heated discussion, but I think everyone's going to get big links in this show notes to everything, so you decide, readers.